Let's get going here. How's that? I'm trying to get comfortable. I'm a little nervous, so if you hear something going, just my knees. So try to ignore it, okay? All right. Now, this is going to be familiar scripture because I believe that the pastor had went over it. I went through the archives on the sermon to see if I wasn't, you know, copyright infringement. I don't want to hear from his lawyers, and I don't want to hear them say, you know, I just erase his name and put my name on it, okay? So chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 1, and I want to go all the way down to verse 19. So I'll try to read fast-ish. So it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate, and at the temple which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look unto us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have to give to thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And when they knew that it was he which sat for alms in the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel at ye at this, or why look so earnestly on us, as though our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? And the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers had glorified his Son, Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof ye are witnesses. He says, in his name through faith, in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. He says, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wrought that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. He says, but those things which God before you had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. In the last verse, it says, repent ye, therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I would thank you, Lord, just for everyone that's here. I thank you for your house, Lord. I thank you for your word, God, that's healed this body. Lord, I pray that you would just be with every heart here. I pray, Lord, right now that you would just even be with me, that my words would be yours, Heavenly Father. Lord, that I would cling to you like this lame man cling to Peter and John. God, we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The name of the sermon is Accepting or Denying. We know from Romans 6:23 it says, for the wages of sin, but the gift of God is eternal life. What makes it a gift? I mean, if you really think about it, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life. And it's what makes it a gift? And you know, there's a lot of Christians that actually use this to witness and things like that. But a lot of the times, people think that if they work, that they would receive this gift. And you'll find that a lot in the church when people come and then they'll pour everything and anything into just doing duties and things like that in the church, but still their walk with God is no closer than they were before they entered in the door. Or people will be, they'll go, you know, if I just give and I give and I give and I got money and this is okay, and they think that, you know, since they're giving to further the gospel for God, all of a sudden that just giving the money is that they'll receive this gift. But to be honest, God simplifies it so much that what makes something a gift is when you do what? When you take it. Somebody can give me something all they want, but if I don't take it, then guess what? It just ain't no gift. It's an offering, basically, is what it is. And he simplifies it so much that he says this. He says, you know, he says, all you have to do is take it. And I want you to look at three things in the portions of scriptures that we have, and I want you to look at the source of it. The source behind these. First of all, the source behind the lame man, the source behind the people who wondered in amazement. Because I'm going to tell you, for years and years and years in my life, I sat there and I tried to figure out, how can I get my life straight? How can I get my feet underneath me? How can I get rid of these addictions? How can I feel love? How can I love? And you try to get your feet underneath, but the simplicity of it is that all of a sudden God gives you something, and it's what you do with it. Either you accept it or you deny it. And we see here that there's this man, this layman, that does what? He sat at this gate. And we know what he was wanting. He was wanting something, right? He said that he was wanting alms. You know, it's funny that people would come to church and want something more than what God would have for them, if that makes any sense. I was a pastor. Believe it or not, I was a pastor. I was a youth pastor, and I was an assistant pastor. So we got to see a lot of people that come in, and you see things. And I believe their heart is in good intentions of what they need. But a lot of the times, what we want is totally different than what we need. Right? He's asking for alms, and he's begging, and every day they drop him off probably, and he sits there, and he needs something. He needs some cash, right? Put some money in here. And all of a sudden, Peter and John come up and they lock eyes and he's like expecting what? He was expecting to receive something. He said, oh, here we go. Here we go. But he says, silver and gold I have none. Now, the funny thing of it is we think these little things are going to help us get things back up. Let me ask you a question. If Peter and John gave that lame man some cash, or some gold or silver, would he still be lame the next day? See, we get focused on bills and things like that, and sometimes our bank things go back in there, and we think, oh man, if I just got a little help and somebody just gave me a little bit of bread, guess what? Things would be going good. But what's the situation that led up to that? Right? See, sometimes those little gifts can actually even be a big harm. I've known plenty of people that are addicted to drugs, and what they do is they'll go get that free handout. And do you think it's going to go towards the food, or you think it's going to go towards the... No, it goes towards getting high again, and then you don't ever see them again. And we don't give to receive, but what I'm saying is the direction of their need or want. It's a miss. They think that this thing is what they need. Man, I need it. I just need it. If I could just get this pressure off of the bills, then all of a sudden for this month, I'm going to be okay. But still, you're in the same cycle. You're still unhealthy. You're still lame. You're still dealing with the sin. That's what you're doing. And all of a sudden, he says he expects to get something. And he doesn't get it. Do you think the woman at the well, when she went down to go get some water, do you think she was expecting the living water, or do you think she was expecting to get some water? Right. She was going down to get something that she needed, or she wanted, I should say. But the fact of it is, she got what she needed. Something that would make her whole. Something that would never make her thirst again, because guess what? This is what this life does. It only gives you something temporarily, but then you're still right back in the same situation. Oh yeah, money makes everything fine and dandy and good, but I'm going to tell you, when God comes into your life and he makes you whole, guess what? Money and everything else is still fine and dandy, but guess what? You don't worry. You're made whole again. Amen. That's what you are. You're made whole. You know, when you're made whole, you think right, and you walk right, and you do the right things, and all of a sudden, guess what happens? Money, you don't have any money problems anymore. It's like, wow, I can't believe it. I got saved. I ain't got no money problems anymore. Woo! Yeah, because you're not buying drugs anymore. You're not drinking anymore. You're not going all the places anymore. See, simplicity of the Bible is real easy, but we can't seem to wrap our mind around it. The simplicity of it. You don't know how many times I tried correcting my problem, doing the same thing over, expecting a different outcome. Man, I tried and I tried and I tried, and I go, okay, this is it, this is it, this is it. And I'm like, how did I end up here? How did I end up here? Because I was expecting that some things were going to give me what I needed, and then when God gave me what I exactly needed, guess what? Things changed. Eyes opened. Things were different. And so we have this layman, and I want to see here, and it says this. He says, Peter and John, he says, went up to the temple and asked of alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes, looked upon him with John and said, look unto us. And he said, gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Now I want you to understand, he has something to give, but it's not what he wants. But it's something that he needs, and it's something that changes his life. He says this, in the name of Jesus Nazareth. Now, if you don't have that underlined in your Bible, I would suggest that you take your pen, and because that's the source. That's the source. That's the bullseye. That's the target that you're aiming for, is that name, Jesus Christ, and what he's done. It wasn't that I went down the line and I said, oh, Lord, I'm a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. I was in jail. It wasn't that I wanted forgiveness. Yeah, I felt guilty, but there was a time when I sat there and I said, okay, I've done everything that I could, I exhausted every measure, and I just didn't want to feel this way anymore. And the only thing that could make me feel good was if that what? I trusted on that name. Now, that's a big thing. You got to trust on that name. You can know him all you want. You could give him money all you want, and you could do work for him all you want. But until you trust him, then guess what? Nothing's going to ever change. Nothing's going to ever change. Your life is always going to stay the same.
That's right.
It is. You can come to church till you're blue in the face. But guess what? If you're not trusting that name, boy, if you're not loving that name, no. That name just holds so much power. And he says this, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he says, rise up and walk. Now, if we seen a crippled guy and we went and said, hey, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ, people probably look at us like we're crazy. They go, man, you're getting that guy's hopes up for nothing. But the thing of it is, it's this ailment that he's had. Just like sin is an ailment that we have. And the thing that he says is, he says, you want this, but this is not what you need, but this name is exactly what you need. And he said, Peter and John, they reached down and they grabbed him, and he said, you know what, rise up and walk. And he said, immediately, his foot and his ankles did what? It strengthened. Oh, man. Let me tell you something. I don't care what you got going on in your life. When the world comes tumbling down, you're going to need strength in your feet and your ankles, don't you think? You're going to need to stand up. Psalms 55:22 says what? Cast your cares upon the Lord and he shall sustain you. You know what that sustain is? It's a holding up from underneath to keep you standing. Oh man, I'll tell you one thing. I'd rather be standing than laying at the gate begging. I'm too proud for that. And I know we're not supposed to be a proud person, but I'm too proud for that. And God humbles you to do the things that he would do. But you, if you're going to ask for something, ask it from God and not from people. Because people can only give you something for a short period of time. Man, the world could come crashing down. You get that pat on the back and you can go, guess what? It's going to be okay. How long does that last? Until they leave? So you start getting in your own little mind and you start playing the matter over and making the mountains bigger and looking at things. That's how long it lasts. But with God, it lasts forever. He said he immediately walked. He said, and he leaping and stood and walked and entered into them, into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I mean, he's just walking and leaping and leaping and walking and walking and leaping. I'm going to tell you something. If you're made whole, guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to be walking, you're going to be leaping. And you might even be kind of weird. But that's okay, right? You can do that. For God, yes. Oh man, why wouldn't you be happy if you're made whole? Why wouldn't you praise God if you're not going to hell? Why wouldn't you? Right?
Come on, bro.
Why wouldn't you? But you know, the funny thing is that people can see it and miss it. They can. It works in their life, but not my life. And they'll scratch their head. How is it that they got it, but I can't get it? How is it? You know, it tells us here that he prays and he was leaping. And then he goes into the temple with John and Peter. It's funny that happened on the outside, right? This metamorphosis happened on the outside of the temple. So things can happen on the outside of this building. You know that, right? But they come in, and I want you to understand that the people inside, the people inside. What does it say? It says, and all the people saw him, verse 9, walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Scratching their head. I'm telling you, you could be in this church all you want, but you are never going to see what God can do if you don't see the source. You know what I love about being an adult is you can kind of mess with kids and you can mess with people and, you know, it's all good, right? You ever notice that more people... I'm a people watcher, just to let you know, not the creepy kind that stands behind the fence or anything like that. I like to watch people. I like to watch them. I love to watch them, especially in church. So more than likely, if you feel like the heat is on the back of your head, it's God, not me. But the thing of it is, I watch more people trying not to listen to the Word of God than I do people listening. I do. Oh, man. And I scratch my head in bewilderment because they have to want something because they're here. They have to be looking for something because they're here. But I'm thinking that they're asking for something that they want, but not wanting what they need. Kids are totally fun. Right? Take away a kid's notebook, they'll count things with their feet. They will. You give them a Bible, they'll never open it. You'll see them look at the walls, you'll see them do all sorts of things. And the funny thing is you have kids that come and they come faithfully and they want it. You know they want it. They look at it. They wouldn't be here if they didn't, unless their parents are dragging them, but they want it. They want it, but they want that healing. They want that peace because I'm going to tell you, growing up as a kid, it sucked. The reason that I was making the decisions that I was making is because at the age of 7, I can remember the day, or not the day, but I can remember the year when things changed, when it wasn't so sunny anymore, that God was not in my presence anymore, and that the world was a lot darker, and there was really no hope in life. So we're talking from the age of 6 and 7 and 8 to the age of 32, did I not walk in the wilderness? Oh yeah, I walked plenty in the wilderness. Making the same choices, accepting it. But until he came into my life and shined that light, I didn't know what the presence of God really felt like. But I'm going to tell you, it resembled to something about leaping and praising God and going into church. Because I'm telling you, I was 100 pounds lighter. Because guess what? When the weight of the world is setting up on you, There ain't no choice but to feel it. Oh, so much that it might make you sit at a gate because you just are not strong enough to stand. That's what it is. He says, oh. And it's funny, they'll go, man, this is what I want. Brother Jeremy, this is what I want. I want things to go on in my family's life. I want them to come to my parents to come to church. I want these things, but like somebody with a glass eye, you know? You ever been around somebody with a glass eye? I have. And what they do is they'll talk to you. Hey, how's it going? And you're wondering if they're talking to you because they're not looking at you. You know, you're going, are you talking to me? I used to have a friend with a glass eye. I'd mess with him all the time. I'd really mess with him. And I actually hurt his feelings when we first met. I'm like, look at me when you talk to me. And he would, you know, he was like, and he got offended. He's like, you made fun of my eye. I'm like, well, how long have you had that eye? He said, all my life. And I still offend you? You should be happy that you would figure a whole lifetime to come to the qualms that you have this imperfection. But see, we don't look at life like that. We look at it as something that we need, but we don't look at it as in God makes us with these imperfections for certain reasons. Do you know I was a person that hated to get in front of people and talk? Oh, I hate it. I hated it. It scares me still, but I hate it. You know, I was talking to a gentleman there about until I had long hair, and he said, oh, you were a hippie. I wouldn't say so much as a hippie because I showered. But the fact of it is, so if you're a hippie, burn, I got you. That I used to hide behind my hair. I would comb it halfway, and I would hide behind my hair. And I would look at the ground, and I could tell who people were by their sneakers, probably, because I never looked at them in their eye. And the reason I never looked at them in their eye is because for some reason I had this misconception that they were better than me. And I've never even met them. There was something that was in me that just was lacking, scared. And I couldn't tell you why. It was all my life. Even as a Marine, I went to the Marines, and Marines don't walk around, wow, I'm scared, I'm lonely, I'm this, you know, it's not something we put on our camis or anything like that and brag about, because they would make fun of you and laugh at you and ridicule you and do the things like that. But you know what I found? I found that almost everybody in this world is actually felt the same way as I have. I don't care how good of a family you have. Guess what? I guarantee there are pressures and things that come into your life that make you question whether or not, is this what life is really about? You know, there are three times that I can remember thinking about killing myself. Luckily, I'm no good at it. You know, I was telling the kids the other day, I said it's funny that you would write your mom and say, I'm sorry for about what I'm to do, thinking that note is going to get her through finding you. But we don't think of things like that. We think of what I need. And the funny thing is that people will see something. They'll know them. Those people said they walked in. He said, that was the person that was laying at the gate. And they were like astonished. And so much Peter, he said he saw the people and he seen the bewilderment on their face, and he says, why are you looking at that? Or why are you looking at me? You know, it does not matter if you don't see the source. Don't look at your mom, don't look at your dad, don't look at your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your friend. Don't look at them like something is special about this. Because it's not. There's nothing that's special about it. I told you, I watch people. I see couples. And a part of the sermon will come on and they'll look right at them. Like, you need this, right? You guys,
who's done this?
Right? Who's done this? Now, I have a son, he's 24, and I'm like, did you get, I wanted to jump by. I said, did you get that? That was for you, right? That was for you. I hope you got something from that, because I did. I got it for you, right? I got it for you. But it seemed like it just skips off their head. And you look, you know, like they should have been moved, like they should have jumped up at that time and said, woo, got it. But they don't. They don't even blink an eye, and you're going, man. But we expect what? Because I stare at him, because I know what he's saying, because I think that he needs that, all of a sudden it's going to do something for him? Man, but they scratch their head and they go, I just don't know. It wasn't that Peter and John did anything miraculous, right? Told him a name. Ooh, told him a name. Told him the right name. Amen. Took him to the right place. Amen. Right? He said he reached down and he lifted him up. I think this day and age, Christians are trying to keep people down more than they are to pick them up. They are. I ain't got to worry about you because I'm all taken care of. I'm good to go. I'm going to heaven. Sorry, you're not. But they have this bewilderment about them. Now, let me tell you something. There are all sorts of different reasons that we could think of what would keep us from maybe seeing the source. Could it be pride? It could be all sorts of things. I'm telling you, when you struggle and you struggle and you struggle and you struggle, it doesn't mean that you don't want it any less. It just means you're not seeing the obvious. Or maybe you're not willing to make that sacrifice. So what happens if we don't know Jesus Christ? And we say, you know what, I want that. What does the world give us the perception of? That things are going to change, right? If I let God into my life, things are going to change. I hope so, right? Right? We hope that this change happens. Because if God lets you, if you let God in your life and your life continues in the same place, I'm going to have to say you probably let the wrong God in. Right? Because God is going to change things. He starts from the inside and he works his way out. Amen. Right? That's what it is. He works on what's wrong in the inside, the things that no one can see, the things that you try to hide, the things that you think there are imperfections, the things that you struggle with, the things that you think that people are going to judge you for. God looks at those and he takes those and he does wonderful things with them. The thing of it is that you have to see the source for what it is. You do. You have to accept it. I'm going to tell you, I went with a girl that I thought that I was going to love forever, and I'm so glad that we didn't, because I found my wife, or she found me, or however that is, you know. God hooked us up, or however you want to do it. But the thing of it is that guess what? Did I not look at her and go, this is for you too, right? This is for you. We're going to do this together. I would sober up long enough to go to church. So I'd party all week long. Come Friday, I'd get sober, get ready to go to church, right? Dirty as all can be inside, but no one's going to ever know. And she went with me a couple of times. And then she started shooting up. And then we stopped talking less. And then her kids got taken away. And so on and so on and so on. I seen the source. And as much as I thought that I would care for her, it didn't matter anything compared to how I felt about God. Not one thing. Not one thing. Oh, did it hurt? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it hurt. seeing the direction that they were going and feeling as good as I was feeling and letting God work into my life and guide and direct and do these things. Oh, it hurt so much to watch that. I had an attachment to the kids. And it hurt to see that the kids would be neglected, but there was nothing that I could do. No matter how much I looked at her, no matter how much I prayed for her, no matter how much I did, I am going to tell you right now, that lame man sat at that gate alone. Alone. Just like every single one of us has ever sat at that gate, lame as can be, we've sat there alone. And all of a sudden, we've seen the source. That name, Jesus Christ, that would lift us up, that would strengthen our ankles and our feet, and that would give us a direction, that would give us a home that we could see. Verse 12, it says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel at this, or why look so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. It said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, he says, whom ye delivered up and denied. Do you know why the source doesn't work for some? Because they deny it. God simplifies it so much. You could either accept it or you can deny it. I don't know if this sounds mean or rude or whatever, but I'm okay with that. I had to come to the same place. Either I accepted what God would have for me, the healing, the jumping, the praising, or denying. And the Bible, we're pretty clear on what the Bible would have to offer. I mean, we're going through it, right? I mean, we think we are. We think we're going through it. Oh man, it can't get any worse than this. I turn it in hell, try it. Right? We think it can't get any worse, but guess what? Oh, it can. The Bible tells us it very much does. But we get in our own way. And we want what we what? We want what we want, but not what we need. Because if God comes into my life, guess what? I gotta change. Man, I gotta start walking. I gotta start living. You know, there's a verse. It'll come to me here. He says they denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. We don't see it, we marvel at it because we deny it. He says here in verse 13, he says, 13, he says, but ye delivered him up. You gave him over. That's what you did. You gave him over. Judas got 30 silver pieces, right? We give over Jesus for less. 30 pieces is pretty good profit, if you ask me, but for what I've given Jesus, when I was giving up God or when I was denying him, I was taking less. So here you go. I was giving more. Oh, I don't want God in my life because that means I have to change, but I want God in my life. You know what I was giving? I said, here, take my son. Take him. I don't want him. Oh, here, take my mom. That's what I was giving. When you give up Jesus, you're giving up a lot of things. When you're giving him up, you're giving up a lot of things. There are things that I thought that I was doing right, but I didn't. Do you know, it's amazing that we can go forever and realize that we really don't even know how to love. I used to think that all the time. Man, we go and tell our mom, I love you, right, Mom? I love you. And you mean that, right? But your actions say